This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, deck the halls with boughs of language. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-language. In today's episode, we're getting festive. Well, festive for 2020. Content note, swears. On with the show. This time last year, December 2019, I was finishing up touring the Allusionist live show No Title around Canada and the USA. The last stretch was a 2,000-mile drive via some of the Western USA's most charming small performance venues and geological spectacles, and that allowed for a lot of time listening to car radio, and the stations were blasting out the Christmas hits. It's a pretty different selection in the US to the UK. And after enough of looping, gently meaningless mid-20th century holly jolly jingle jolly chestnuts, I started to wonder if they were deliberately trying to hypnotise me into Christmas obedience. Luckily, my illusion brain was able to override that programming and started thinking about which are the most frequently used words in festive hits. So I set the Allusionist elves onto the task of analysing a corpus of the most played Christmas hits in the US and UK, filtering out common words such as and, of, to, ultimately to compile lists of the top 50 most common words in Christmas songs. The top 10 are Christmas, followed by merry, baby, year, tree, love, no, Santa, happy, and time. And then they also compared the incidence of words in Christmas songs versus non-Christmas songs. The top 10 of those, Noel is the most common, followed by merry in second place again, then Christmas, Santa, sleigh, Claus, Wonderland, jingle, French, and proclaim. How did French get to be number 9? Way higher than Turtle Doves and the Partridge in the Pear Tree. Elves! Anyway, with this data in hand, I thought, surely it would be possible to combine these words into the ultimate Christmas song. And then 2020 happened. When I thought of this episode over a year ago, I wrote an apocalyptic Christmas song, because I thought, well, that'd be funny, a song about a kind of post-apocalyptic scenario with like zombie hordes and radioactive animals.
Little did you know.
2020 happened with a different flavour of apocalyptic behaviour. And now that also seems like an inappropriate kind of song.
Right, right.
To assist with writing the ultimate Christmas song, or at least a Christmas song for 2020, I called in the professionals.
My name is Jenny Owen Youngs. I am a singer, songwriter, podcaster. Wildly, my somehow credits include songs by Panic at the Disco, Pitbull, Ingrid Michaelson, Brett Denon, Bunt, Zachary Knowles, bunch of people.
And you got a platinum disc.
I do have a I should have known this was going to come up. Yes, I have a platinum disc.
By the end of this episode, I'm sure you'll have another one.
Of course, definitely.
Well, Jenny, it's just feeling to me that the canon of Christmas songs may not really fit people's mood in this year, 2020, when I'm not sure people are feeling all that holly jolly.
It's true. Do you think that a great function of traditional Christmas music this year might be to help people remove themselves from their current state?
I think often what we're trying to achieve with our entertainment arts is escapism, while not completely ignoring current reality, because that seems almost insulting or disingenuous. And I think maybe this year, when you've got songs about people gathering together and being employed enough to buy presents.
Yeah, yeah.
And welcoming fire rather than fearing it, as it has wiped out large swathes of the land on which they live.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Maybe it's not feeling like the right mood.
Yes, yes.
Maybe it just feels a bit too much like Christmas songs are flipping the bird at us.
True, and which bird? Not even a dove.
Definitely not a turkey. Too big.
A partridge, perhaps?
Oh yeah, they're small.
That's a fairly Christmassy bird.
Yeah, but it probably got evicted from the pear tree.
No.
It's a bad year, Jenny.
It is a bad year, Helen. So, yeah, how do we get to the core of the thing How do we walk that line?
Do you do new versions like I saw mommy within 6 feet of Santa Claus?
Hell yeah.
So I've been looking at words that really characterize the Christmas songs, the ones that turn up with most frequency. And I'm sure you won't be surprised that Christmas is
number one, top in the charts.
Swiftly followed by Merry. So, you know, although people act like you can't say Christmas anymore, it's still asserting itself in the holiday tunes. And the word holiday is a religious word anyway, so
oh wow,
you can't escape it.
Wow.
You can't. It's a very complicated, it's such a complicated occasion.
What a mess.
Jenny.
What a fucking mess. Also, I wonder if it's worth noting that the Merry that occurs in the number two slot is M-E-R-R-Y, and then Mary, M-A-R-Y, occurs at the with the 48th most frequency.
Just under Claus, as in Santa, not bird, turkey.
Ah, yes, the traditional Christmas turkey claws scattered round beneath the tree.
In the list of words that are more frequently used in the Christmas corpus than in wider song corpus, Noel was more common than Christmas. Is that just because in the songs in which it occurs many times?
Yeah, because check it out. The first song that comes to mind is like the first Noel, and it's like the first Noel, the angels did say, la, 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 la. Mm. Then you get to the chorus, and it's just like, Noel, 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 born is the king of Israel. So, I mean, all right, automatically, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck there,
You know. Here's something that I found rather surprising. The word dong
nice
came in at number 16. However, its partner, ding, came in at 41 and is used less than half as much as dong. What's happening there? I thought they were mostly in equal quantities.
You would think that just naturally ding would pair with dong every time.
I would. Are there some very suggestive Christmas songs that I have forgotten about?
I'm wondering if it's like a situation where it's sort of like a ding, dong, 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 ding, dong, dong, dong. Some kind of like echoey thing where for some reason it's only an echo on the dong. It just like keeps going. Or, you know, Helen, maybe we're missing out. Maybe there's a little 1080p HD out there waiting for us to only discover it.
Do you think that sexy Christmas songs are feasible?
Well, there's a strong argument for Santa Baby.
It's provocative.
It's provocative. You know, as a child, actually until very embarrassingly recently, I thought I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus was a tale of an extramarital holiday affair with actual Santa Claus.
So did I.
But it's just her dad.
What?
It's just her dad in a Santa suit.
What?
Doing the thing, you know, that dads sometimes do, which is dress up as Santa, put the presents under the tree, get a cookie, and then, you know, get a smooch.
My dad, I'm pretty sure, has never done that. However, my father-in-law is a professional Santa. Well, he goes by the Santa Dave right. To make it clear that he is an ambassador for Santa and not trying to act like he is the one true Santa.
Not impersonating Santa.
Yeah. And he and my mother-in-law do have an affectionate relationship. So I guess that has happened to me in real life.
You saw
my mummy-in-law kissing Santa Claus.
Kissing Santa Dave.
Yes.
I mean, there's your song. Go for it, Helen. Reach for the stars.
When you're writing Christmas songs, which you have
yes.
done.
Oh, yes.
For yourself and others, do you play with the Christmas lexicon? Or is that not your way of summoning the festivities?
Well, I write two kinds of Christmas songs, I guess. The fun kind and the sad kind. So, sad kind is just sort of like a regular Jenny song set at the holidays. That's when the sadness is occurring. I think I wrote maybe like a dozen Christmas songs this year, and one of them is called Hot Buttered Rum, and it is in praise of my favorite wintertime hot bev that's like, you know, seasonal. I'll drink hot toddies all year long if it's like a cool night or whatever, but Hot Buttered Rum is a Christmas special. So there's not like a ton of special Christmas stuff that has to make it in there to make, you know. But to put together a song that actually feels like, you know, celebratory, there is a certain amount of culling from this list. You want some kind of indicators, but a lot of the time you don't want to say Christmas directly, or at least the worlds that I work in, not everybody wants to say Christmas, right? People mm-hmm. want to indicate warmth, togetherness, celebration, without necessarily limiting it to people who observe Christmas in, I guess, the kind of religious way.
So what would you go for there? Would Merry or Jolly be too Christmas specific?
I think Merry and Jolly are fantastic choices. I think I personally tend to lean in the more of a direction of, like, you know, we're toasting, we're cheersing, like, let me pour you a drink. That's, of course, not for everybody. But mm-hmm. those are sort of like celebratory touchstones that maybe work all year, or some of them work all year. But, like, especially around the holidays, like, what are the ways that we know we are together, right? And what's the thing you do every year with your family, or what's the thing you do every year with your friends? That's also a totally valid path. But what is it this year? It's like, gather around the built-in laptop camera, log into Zoom most festively.
It'll be a Zoom. And irritation abounds when mom and dad take half an hour to turn the camera on. And then the Wi-Fi dies again, and we roll back to square one.
Helen, if I never see another Zoom video, it'll be too soon. It's rare to get 100% of your parents' face on a video call, is what I've noticed.
That's how they retain mystery.
And a sense of authority looming.
But when you're doing the sad Jenny-style songs, how do you make them festive without festive references?
Okay, so this is the opening stanza of a holiday song, a sad holiday song that I put out last year.
When I was a kid, it was boxes and balls, crossing my fingers and wishing for snow. Honestly, I don't know where the time goes.
And then, talk about cutting down an evergreen and turning it into a Christmas tree. So I guess I've lied to you, Helen, and we've uncovered it straight away. I freaking said the word Christmas right there, and I'm so ashamed. But then... but then it's on to, you know, stringing the lights, you know, the glow of the fire. We touch the word Christmas one time and never come back to it, and it's not in the chorus. You know, it's just more of a passing marker, like when you're playing Sonic the Hedgehog and you get to a little marker that goes like woot woot, and then every time you die, you land back at that marker. And here's where the metaphor really starts to fall apart.
Can't wait to find out how.
The next time I die, I'll end up back at line 6 of verse 1, where Christmas occurs.
Is the song about the cyclical nature of Christmas and the inescapable repetition of our lives as marked by festivals?
Well, alas, it's kind of... it is in a way, but it's sort of like the holiday on the calendar is just like a marker of how long it's been since the last time I saw someone, and how many more times, you know, it is, you know, it's one more time each year. It's one more year every Christmas that I haven't seen the person to whom the song is directed.
Which I guess goes for so many people this year.
Yeah.
Maybe you already wrote the Christmas song for 2020.
Oh, brutal. I may have already written, yes, correct. This might be it.
speaking of repetition, a lot of the popular hit songs are so repetitious, I am angry about it. Like, Holly Jolly Christmas feels like Ouroboros Christmas song. What does holly jolly even mean? I don't find holly a very jolly plant because I grew up with quite a few holly trees in the garden, which means there were always dried holly leaves waiting to spike you somewhere like the sofa or inside your shoes.
They attack when you least expect it.
Yeah, it was the tree that was the most suitable for being a climbing tree, but very hostile to human flesh trying to shimmy up it. So the holly was distinctly saying, don't come and jolly near me. I've made that clear to you.
Okay, let's take a look at it. I think this person, let's see who wrote the song. Burl Ives, of course, popularized it, but 'twas written by Johnny Marks. Okay. I think Johnny Marks was like two words that really make me think of holiday times. Holly, beautiful plant. You know, just imagine it. Just picture it set against the snow, the green leaves, the red holly berries. So pretty.
Yes, okay, that's great. True.
Festive. Yeah. Okay. And then jolly, you know, we're jolly. Santa's jolly. Everybody's at least aspiring towards jolliness in the holiday season.
Aspiring towards jolliness. Holly is often referred to by the name Christ's thorn.
Good Lord.
Have a Christ-thorn jolly Christmas.
That's what I'm talking about.
In case you didn't know, he died for your sins, you awful human, etc.
So you'd want to try to land a rhyme on that last line?
I couldn't possibly. That's not what Jesus would want.
Okay, fair. While I agree with you that holly jolly as a modifier of Christmas is not necessarily the most... Well, it just doesn't seem to mean very much, but sometimes I'm in a writing session and I'm like, this feels like this line I just suggested feels absolutely ludicrous. But then I think about a line that's like, have a holly jolly Christmas. And I'm like, okay, did the writer at that time think this is ludicrous? Was the writer not thinking about it? Was the writer like, this is tight? And then like, you know, pulling on the vape pen as is the nature of many songwriters.
It's quite a small pool of imagery and references that they draw from.
Right.
So how do you come up with an original spin that is not so unexpected that people are like, nah, that doesn't work for me in the festive times?
This is what we're all searching for as songwriters. How do you say something that is universal or familiar or relatable that has a very good chance of having been said before, in a way that makes somebody feel like they're hearing it for the first time and like it can resonate with them? Much like with writing any other kind of music, I think that what is a little bit counterintuitive about writing with the hope of having like a broad appeal, a lot of the time you can get kind of like hung up on that broad appeal idea, which leads to lyrics that just feel so general that like anybody could have written them. So you have to like hunt around for this balance, right, between, again, like the relatable idea, but finding something that feels uniquely you.
A unique spin on a relatable idea, you say? Well, let's see.
If there's one thing I can count on every Christmas night, even when it's too warm for snow, too polluted for starlight, there's a feeling in every part encroaching on my heart. It's the Christmas meat sweats, like a brick inside my gut. The Christmas meat sweats, vegetarian version now. Potato fugue state, carb duvet for the soul. Potato fugue state, let's curl up and sleep in a hole.
Are there any sexier foods or drinks that you guys get into over your way at the holiday times?
I think the purpose is not to be sexy. I think it's a release from all that. The purpose is heavy and soporific.
Okay.
Can you work with that?
Let's see.
So out of the 12 Christmas songs you've written this year, none of them is about meats.
No, just one about beverage and then a bunch about interpersonal relationships and celebration.
So you've set me a number of challenges, such as write a Christmas song about meats. But would you accept the task of writing a Christmas song for the mood of 2020, that it doesn't make people feel like the reality is a horrible, inadequate form of what their previous years might have been?
Mm.
It's a song to comfort them in whatever circumstances they find themselves in this year of difficulties.
That sounds like something I was going to do anyway, so yeah. Let's see. Conscientious Objector. That's a title pitch I have for you. Conscientious Objector.
What, from Christmas?
Exactly. Not participating because, you know, fill in the blank.
Well, because you don't want to breathe on Grandma and kill her.
Oh my God. True, yes. Okay. Okay, this is probably what I'm going to guess we're actually going to hear a lot of this year,
mm-hmm.
is people writing Christmas songs about wanting to be close or finding ways to be close, making the best of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding that optimistic spin. Are we collaborating on this or are we having a song off?
What would you prefer?
Oh, I love to collaborate, Helen.
I brought in illusionist composer Martin Austwick to help us. Cue quick songwriting montage.
Okay. It's like rock climbing. Once you have one little handhold, then you just like build on that and build and build. And then before you know it, you're over the inverted wall. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. You can't show me an inverted wall without me scaling it.
It's like, Helen, have you noticed my fine? Where'd she go? Oh, she's at the top. God damn it. Thwarted again.
What relevance does mistletoe have to people's lives this year, I wonder? Poisonous plant with an even more dangerous connotation this year than usual.
Wow. Poisonous plant with an even more dangerous
mistletoe a wide birth this year.
What are you saying?
Give the mistletoe a wide birth this year.
I understand those words, but I wish to poke them and see if there's something we can find that will make it a little more singable.
Yes.
A wide berth. Although I guess things immediately become more singable when you do this while you're singing them. Da-da. Yeah. And then add loads of vibrato. and then you're good.
Remain alone this year. Gonna be alone.
Gonna stay alone this year.
Gonna stay alone.
Be alone this year.
Gonna be alone.
Gonna stay alone.
My mom would be thrilled to know that I was jamming betwixt into a song.
Jam, 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 jam.
Okay, I can do this. I'm an adult. I'm actually a grown-ass songwriter, and here's how it goes. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, this is looking great. This is one of the fastest songs ever. Wait, Helen, do you want me to do the instrumental, and do you want to sing it, or do you want me to sing it?
I want you to sing it. Given that you're a professional singer and I am certainly not.
So now, performed by Jenny Owen Youngs and the Illusionettes, here is our song, Don't Wait For Me Beneath the Mistletoe.
The usual lights are on my tree. The usual stars are in the sky. You would usually be with me on a usual Christmas night. But this year that's a hard no, and we'll both be alone. So don't wait for me beneath the mistletoe. Gonna keep my distance till there's mass resistance. It's a solo Christmas this year. I'll stay in isolation till the vaccination makes it safe for you to be here. Don't want a gift from Santa's sleigh, except for you to stay the fuck away. Don't wait for me beneath the mistletoe. Blitzen, keep 6 feet betwixt them and there'll be no sharing. Hey, Rudolph's out on furlough. You can't see his nose glow with a mask upon his face. The best gift from Santa's sleigh is for you to stay the fuck away. Don't wait for me beneath the mistletoe. There's nothing I'd like more than throwing wide the door so you could run into my arms. But there'd be too much danger to ourselves and strangers, so I must resist your charms. It breaks my heart to say, please stay the fuck away. Don't wait for me beneath the mistletoe. Don't wait for me beneath the mistletoe.
There you go. That's a song you can send to people who are trying to get you to come to gatherings when you're not comfortable going to gatherings.
Absolutely. Nothing says happy holidays, fam, like stay the fuck away from me.
But it's jolly.
It is jolly. And that will help, you know, kind of like take the sting out, I think. This is a year-round song thing. Sometimes you have to deliver a message that hurts. It hurts you. It hurts the person who's receiving it. But dress up your dark messaging, your painful messaging in a jolly song and all will be well.
Well, Jenny, I am excited to tell you that in our song, Don't Wait For Me Beneath the Mistletoe, we managed to pack in 14.5 of the top 50 Christmassiest Christmas song words.
Without even really thinking too much about it, huh?
Exactly. We used Christmas, year, tree, Santa, like, night, want, make, away, heart, please, mistletoe, Rudolph, sleigh. And I gave us half a point because we said beneath, and underneath is in the top 50 list.
Mm. Oh, we forgot ding and dong.
Strongly implied.
Okay, nice.
And I also have since learnt the etymology of mistletoe. The toe is a kind of mishearing of an old English word that meant twig. And the mistle was from the mistle thrush, which ate mistletoe. And mistle also just basically meant mistletoe. And because the bird would eat the mistletoe and then shit it out, which would plant the seeds in different places, mistle basically means bird shit.
Festive.
Yes. So don't wait for me beneath the bird shit twig.
Nice.
Well done us.
Yeah, happy to contribute that more of that to the great global Christmas songbook.
It's much easier not to want to wait under that. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is Yarak, noun, of a trained hawk. Fit and in proper condition for hunting. Try using Yarak in an email today. In today's episode, you heard from Jenny Owen Youngs. Go to jennyowenyoungs.com to hear her music, which is also on Spotify and Bandcamp, etc. And coming up imminently, she's doing some festive live stream concerts, which would be brilliant. And Jenny co-hosts the podcast Buffering the Vampire Slayer and Veronica Mars Investigations, which also features your friendly neighbourhood Helen Zaltzman. Martin Austwick of palebirdmusic.com wrote and performed music on this episode and conducted linguistic analysis of the Christmas hit corpus. Thanks also to Helena Kaczynski and Raquella De Felice. If you want to listen to Don't Wait For Me Beneath the Mistletoe on its own, without all the talking either side of it, you can find The Illusionettes on Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music and YouTube. Also, all sales of the song will be donated to the Trussell Trust, and I'll match the donation. So if you buy it, you'll be getting a festive banger and feeding people in need. I'll link to the places where the song's available on the show's website as well, where you can also find every episode of The Illusionist and transcripts of those, and additional material about each topic, and links to the show on Patreon, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can see the full dictionary entries for the randomly selected words. That's all at the show's forever home, theillusionist.org.